Repeat. Tatra hapi. In that Brahmana birth also. Swajana songat. From association with relatives and friends. Cha. And. Brisham. Greatly. Udvid. Udvijamanaham. Being always afraid that he would fall down again. Bhagavataham. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karma Panda. The bondage of the reactions of fruitive activities. Vidvangsanha, which vanquishes. Shravana, hearing. Smarana, remembering. Guna Vivarana, hearing descriptions of the qualities of the Lord. Charana Aravinda, lotus feet. Yugalam, the two. Manasa, with the mind. Vidatat, always thinking of. Atmanaha, of his soul. Pratigatam, obstruction on the path of devotional service. Ashankamanaha, always fearing. Bhagavat Anugrahena. By the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anusmritta. Remembered. Swapurva. His own previous. Janma Avalihi. String of births. Admanam, himself. Unmata, mad. Jada, dull. Anda, blind. Bodhira, and deaf. Swarupena, with these features. Darshihamasa, he exhibited. Lokasya, two people in general. Some translation. Due to his being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy, Bharata Maharaj could remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmin, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. Phew. He was always very cautious of such association. Because he feared that he would again fall down. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, dull, blind, and deaf, so that others would not try to talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. Within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive action. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. You can repeat. Due to his being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy, Bhartmarsh could remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmana, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. He was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would again fall down. Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, dull, blind, and deaf. So that others would not try to talk to him. In this way, he saved himself.
In this way, he saved himself
from bad association.
From bad association.
Within, he was always thinking.
Within, he was always thinking
of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Of the lotus feet of the Lord.
And chanting the Lord's glories.
And chanting the Lord's glories.
Which save one from the bondage of fruit of action.
To save one from the bondage of fruit of action.
Hmm. In this way, he saved himself.
From the onslaught of non-devotee associates.
Heavy verse. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Every living entity is bound by different activities due to association with the modes of nature. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Karnam Guna Sangosha Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. This is due to his association with that material nature, thus he meets with good and evil among various species. It's from the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, text 22. We get different types of bodies among 8,400,000 species according to our karma. Karmana daiva naitrena. We work under the influence of material nature contaminated by the three modes, and thus we get a certain type of body according to superior order. This is called karma bandha. To get out of this karma bandha, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one will not be affected by the modes of material nature. Mam chayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati jayetan ramabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman, Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, text 26. To remain immune from the material qualities, one must engage himself in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnaho. That is the perfection of life. When Maharaj Bharata took birth as a Brahmana, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahmana, but within he remained a pure Vaishnava, always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, as advised in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. This is the only process by which one can be saved from the danger of repeated birth and death. So, Om Magana Timadandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So this is actually quite a heavy thing because as we hear in the previous verse, that he took birth, let me read this. Bharata Maharaj took birth in a very pure Brahmin family. It's not that he took birth in a contaminated, malecha, Western family. He took birth in a pure, very pure, Prabhupada translates, Brahmin family. And his father was a descendant of the dynasty of Angira. Now, just like when you go to India, sometimes they'll ask you what your gotra is. That means, like, what great personality you descend from. Of course, we say Achyuta gotra. We descend from Krishna. That's the way Prabhupada told us to reply to that particular inquiry. His father was fully qualified with Brahminical qualifications, could control his mind and senses, had studied the Vedic literatures. Listen to this. What a father. Pretty good. Another subsidiary literatures, expert in giving charity, satisfied, tolerant, very gentle, learned, and non-envious, self-realized. And he was engaged in devotional service in the Lord. He remained always in trance. I mean, this is a pretty qualified father, isn't it? So, then we read about Bharata Maharaj don't want to have anything to do with his family members. it's quite interesting. I mean, obviously, his father was a pure devotee, but as we'll read later on, you know, his stepmother and other people had their issues. They weren't quite pure. And his brother, what to speak of his brothers, it's mentioned also in the previous verse, I think he had nine brothers or something. Let's see.
He had nine equally qualified sons by his first wife. So his brothers were actually equally qualified. In other words, they were devotees too. Later on, they had some problem. They tried to offer him, yeah, they sold him to the dacoits or something like that. Or they put him out actually in the field. But, I mean, this is a pretty elevated family, isn't it? A pretty elevated family. Yet, it's described, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee associates. So it's really interesting how strict one has to be in devotional service to avoid fall down. I mean, I'm not advocating that people, if they have a devotee mother or devotee father, if they're not pure devotees, that we just like act like idiots so they don't take us seriously. I mean, sometimes I'm thinking like, well, maybe just to avoid all the problems that come through management, I should just act like an idiot. You know, that's tempting. It's tempting, you know. Just people calling, like, you know, devotees, because the neophytes, they fight. Neophyte. So I'm thinking if I just make believe that I, what is that, in that TV show, I know nothing, nothing. Like that. If you remember that old TV show. Yeah, Jill. So you remember that too. So, I know nothing. You know, just like I'm completely incompetent. And that way nobody will bother me. But it's very interesting. Yeah, that's tempting, of course. So, what is this? I mean, you know, they're devotees, and he's giving them up, and he doesn't want to associate with them. And because he's so strict that he only wants to associate with pure devotees, first of all. And secondly, he's afraid that even with devotees, he's going to develop some material attachment. There's two things going on here. So we see this particular mentality with many, many great devotees, how cautious they are about the material energy. I mean, one story that comes to mind is the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he was born into a devotee family also, Majumdras. And, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said they weren't pure devotees. In fact, he said they were almost devotees, even though they were great personalities. I mean, just look how great they were. They maintained Haridas Thakur. They supported his preaching activities. I mean, they really supported the Vaishnavas. But at the same time, they were devotees, but they were interested in material things. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them to be like worms in stool. Now, the reason that example is given, worms in stool, is not really to insult them, that you're a worm. That's an insult. But to understand that what a worm does, if you take it out of stool, what does it do? It just jumps back in, because that's, you know, prasadam, whatever it is, or food. It's not actually prasadam. So that's really what was the problem with Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle. Haranya and Govardhan were their names. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was always thinking of how to escape from them. And eventually, of course, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he escaped from them. I mean, this father and uncle are great personalities. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not criticizing. I'm just repeating the words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were great personalities, much better than me, obviously. But because they were simply interested in material enjoyment and devotional service, like the demigods, for example. They're devotees, but they're interested in material enjoyment and devotional service. Therefore, he rejected their association and took up this extreme renunciation in Vrindavan. I mean, he was the most renounced of all the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So that's one story. Raghunath Das Goswami. Another story about someone giving up. There's so many stories about people giving up their family members who are even devotees. Then there's a story, I was reminded of the story at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a great devotee, and his brother was also a devotee. And not a bad devotee. So what happened is one time, his brother invited this great devotee of Lord Nityananda to their house. And his name was Meenaketana Ramdas. And he's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the main branches of Lord Nityananda. And he would manifest the Avirbhav. I mean, that's very interesting. Avirbhav means that someone manifests the bhav or the mood of either Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. And so by seeing them, it's the same as seeing Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. For example, Lord Chaitanya's best son was, I believe, the Shingananda Brahmachari. That someone who saw him would actually have the same effect as darshan of Lord Chaitanya. That's pretty good, isn't it? This is right, because Lord Chaitanya couldn't go everywhere. Well, he could, but, you know, he, at least in his pastimes, he manifested he couldn't. Therefore, he empowered devotees. Even if you saw them, it'd be like seeing Lord Chaitanya. So this Meenaketana Ramdas, it was like seeing Lord Nityananda. He even carried a flute and was joking all the time. And he sometimes hit people with his flute. And then, anyway, like Lord Nityananda is very humorous like that. So anyway, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother invited Meenaketana Ramdas to the house, and Meenaketana Ramdas had some kirtan. But their family priest, whose name was Gurnarnava Mishra, he didn't pay respects to Meenaketana Ramdas because he was doing deity service. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's no criticism of Gurnanama Mishra because it said he was engaged in deity worship. Although we do understand that when a great Vaishnava comes, one can even neglect the deity service to receive a great Vaishnava. Like if Prabhupada was coming here and you were doing arti, well, it depends. If Prabhupada was taking darshan of the deities, you continue doing arti. But if Prabhupada came in and Prabhupada said, you know, I'd like to have a glass of water or something, I'm thirsty, and you were the only one here, and you were doing arti, and you said, you know, wait, I got to finish arti. That would be an offense. You should run out and get Prabhupada the water and the deity. You know, because you please the deities by pleasing the deities, pure devotee. You shouldn't Prabhupada. So, anyway, so Gurnanava Mishra didn't properly respect, and then Meenaketana Ramdas sort of jokingly said, oh, here is a second Romaharshana Sutta. Now, Romaharshana Sutta was the one who didn't rise to respect Lord Balaram when Lord Balaram came to Naimisharanya with the sages there. And what Lord Balaram did at that particular time was he committed murder. Anyway, not in a criminal way. He took some kusha grass and he just like killed Meenaketana. He killed this Brahmin, Romaharshana Sutta. And, you know, right when he was giving Bhagavatam class. It's not that he waited until later, you know, I got something to tell you. He walked out right up to the Vyasasa. And he died right giving Bhagavatam class. And therefore his son, Sutta Goswami, had to take over the class. He said, Dad's dead, so, you know, I get, take his body away and I'm going to sit on the Vyasasana. So that's the whole Bhagavatam was spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya. And Shonaka Rishi was the head of those sages, and he was... Anyway, that's the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, Balaram killed him because he didn't properly respect. And also they remembered his past mixed family. Sutta means mixed family. So in the same way, Meenaketana Ramdas said about Gurnanava Mishra, here is a second Romaharshana Sutta. And Gurnanava Mishra, he didn't take it very seriously. You know, he didn't take offense. So there was really no problem there. But the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got really upset at seeing that. You know, my priest has been offended. And he had a big argument with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that night. And it's described about the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that he had great faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but very, very little faith in Lord Nityananda, which is interesting. Actually, it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you have faith in one and no faith in the other, it's better to be an atheist than be like that. Can you imagine? It's better to be an atheist than to have... It's like the half a hen logic it's described. That to have faith in one and not in the other. So what happened is that he had an argument, and that night, Lord Nityananda appeared to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and praised him for blasting his brother. You know, his brother was a devotee, believe me. I mean, I'm not encouraging people to leave their families, please. You know, it's a very strict standard. So his brother was a devotee, yet he blasted his brother, and Lord Nityananda was pleased. And Lord Nityananda said, go to Vrindavan, and this way you will achieve your fortune. You know, you achieve the perfection of life. At that point, the next morning, he just left. And remember, here's another thing, that he was old. He wasn't like 30, 40, 50. He was probably about 70 at that point. Because when he writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, I'm going blind and my hands are trembling and, you know, I can't remember. You know, the mind, yeah, that happens when you get old. They're called senior moments. Of course, he was being humble. He was actually being extremely humble because being a pure devotee, old age could not affect him. That's another thing. It's not that, you know, it's not that the external, let's say, challenges that appeared to be in his body were affecting his consciousness at all. You know, a devotee is not affected by old age in that way. I mean, of course, the body does get old, but the consciousness is not affected. So then he left home, and then at an old age, he went all the way across India by himself, and he went to Vrindavan. And he started living at Radhakund. And then he had the association of Raghunath Das Goswami. And it's interesting that Raghunath Das Goswami, he had practically more information about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than almost anyone else, because he had stayed for a long period of time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, and then he went... Then he went to Vrindavan. So the pastimes we hear of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are actually coming from Raghunath Das Goswami being told to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So he left everything. In other words, the whole purpose of telling the story is that he left everything just so that he could serve the Lord, not have to associate with his brother who had faith in Lord Chaitanya but not faith in Lord Nityananda. You know, I wish my family was so pious like that. Wish my brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya. I mean, someone. He just has faith in his senses. He just tells me when I want to preach to him, don't spoil it for me. So, in other words, there's actually two types of non-devotees, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, several types. One type is those who are... atheistic. The basic two types are those who are atheistic and blasphemous, and the other type are those who are materialistic. Those are the two types of atsat sangha: materialists and atheism and blasphemers. Now, anyway, I just have to be real careful not to make sure the devotees don't take this as an excuse to leave their families. You know, if they're husband or wife happens to be a little materialistic, don't use this whole thing as an excuse. Take it as a yes. No. This is, you know, anyway, please don't take this out of context. But anyway, so that's the story of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And then we have other stories. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, he didn't leave his father. His father was a pure devotee. But he, in order to not be entangled in this world, he refused to graduate from the university. He thought, you know, if I graduate from the university, now you have to understand Indian society. Like, if you graduate from the university and you got family members, everyone is going to be putting pressure on you to get married. I mean, I deal with, like, Indian disciples sometimes, and, you know, they're getting, like, calls three times a day. You know, why haven't you found a wife? And I'm going to find a wife for you. You know, they're under so much pressure that they have to run out to the store and get a wife before their parents get... Not that they don't go to the store, Walmart. You know, Walmart has everything. Even imported, though, not made in America. But so they have to... I mean, they're under so much pressure, I've seen. Because the parents are saying, why aren't you married? Why aren't you getting married? What's the problem? Because they want grandchildren. And especially if you have a degree, I mean, you can go on the internet and put out your degree as you know, especially bachelor's or PhD or MA or something like that. And you'll get like thousands of replies from eligible girls. And they'll be calling you up and telling you, you're the only one I'm thinking of. I will never get married to anyone else, and I just had a heart attack yesterday. I mean, in India, India is where the Jews learn their guilt trips from. Because there was some communication between India and Israel. So, you know, where the original Yentas are from Israel. So therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't accept his degree because there would be pressure. And he said, and otherwise he was educated. I mean, he aced all of his courses without even studying them because he had a photographic memory. So here you have someone who's making that plan not to get attached or not to get entangled. Anyway, there's many stories like that. Let's see if I, of course, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when he understood his wife was not really helpful for his devotional service, he said his wife was his devotee, was a devotee, not his devotee, was a devotee, but not our type of devotee. So he just left and headed for the hills. So you have all these cases here of extreme, you know, renunciation of, because you don't want to have bad association because it's very dangerous. Now, of course, we can't imitate them. We can't imitate them. So how do we avoid associating, even though, you know, we're physically in the same location as people? I mean, if I had that standard, of course, you know, I couldn't even associate with myself if I had that standard. You know, the standard of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I mean, I'd have to give up myself. So if we had that standard, I mean, we wouldn't be able to associate practically with anybody, but to speak of ourselves. So therefore, we have to understand what is the root cause of our desire for bad association. And if we can give that root cause for desire of bad association, then even if we're somewhere, we will be aseptic. In other words, not influenced by the modes of nature. Of course, the one place we don't want to remain is where Krishna or his devotees are being blasphemed. That's intolerable. And so we should not remain in such a situation like that under any circumstance. But in many cases, we have to deal with people who are mixed in their devotional outlook. I mean, that's life. And we can't imitate these great personalities. You know, we can't tell our husband that, you have a lot of faith in Lord Chaitanya, but no faith in Lord Nityananda. I'm out of here. You know, it's just like, it's not going to work. We can have a lot of unstable society. So therefore, we have to give up what I call our enjoying mentality. Because the cause of our wanting or taking association, bad associations, is our enjoying mentality. That we try to enjoy someone. When we try to enjoy someone or something, then either we hanker for them or we want to give them up or we reject them. Just like I hear sometimes that people say, this person treated me roughly, I don't want to see their face. Isn't it? You hear that sometimes. I don't want to see their face again. Or, this person treated me nicely, I really want to be with them. So generally with family members, it's, I really want to be with them because, you know, it's about me, it's not about them. Or I really don't want to be with someone, but that's still about me. It's not about them. You understand? So you're really thinking about yourself when you're attracted or repulsed, other than devotional association. Because pure devotional association is the most valuable thing. Ramananda Roy said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most miserable thing in the world is, after Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the most miserable thing? To be devoid of association of devotees. That's what Ramananda Roy said. But as far as associating with people who are a little materialistic or whatever, if we give up the enjoying spirit, then we will not be influenced. But when you try to enjoy a particular situation, then you're influenced. Just like I was thinking, Krishna helps. He helps everyone, but he helps me come to a higher platform understanding this, that sometimes we have a desire, let's say, to enjoy the devotion of some particular disciple. But then the disciple sometimes may develop some negative mood. I mean, it happens. What can you say? I mean, just like someone, any relationship, it's like that, isn't it? That, you know, you have some loving relationship and then the person develops a negative attitude for their own issues. You know, it has nothing to do with you. It's their own issues. And then if you feel pain on account of that, that means you were trying to enjoy them. It's interesting, isn't it? You were trying to enjoy them. Yeah, if they say some harsh thing to you, act harshly, if it's pain, then it's about you. It's not about them anymore. So one has to become selfless. In other words, how do you do that? You're thinking of Krishna's pleasure all the time. Like the gopis. You know, people talk about becoming gopis. Of course, nowadays in ISKCON, we have so many gopis that are not qualified. You know, people, we have devotees who go to Radhakund and other places, and they think they're gopis, and they haven't even learned. They're not the body yet. They're gopis with a material body. So, but the mood of the gopis is that they're simply trying to please Krishna, whatever Krishna does. Crushing them by his embrace, leaving them brokenhearted by not being present before us, before them, then, you know, that they still love him. They still love him. It doesn't matter. It's not about them anymore. It's about Krishna. It's about pleasing Krishna. And their love, and the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so intense in that regard, so selfless in that regard in relationship to Krishna, that it's described that that verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, what, yayatamam prapajante tam sitaiva bhajamiham mamavartmanu vartante manushapartha sarvashah. Everyone knows that verse? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. That verse doesn't apply to them. It applies to all the other living entities other than the residents of Vrindavan. What do I mean? Because Krishna says, there's no way I can repay you. With everyone else, you know, Krishna can reciprocate properly. But with the Lagopis, especially in the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna has no ability to reciprocate. He wants to, but he can't. Because they love him so much. Their love is so intense. Krishna actually says this to the gopis, there's no way I can repay you. Your own love will have to be, you know, your payment. You understand? You've heard this before. This verse has been recited many times. So That's what it means to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, so, or the residents of Vrindavan, to have that intense love for Krishna, and this intense self-sacrifice, intense, freedom from any personal desire. And then one can be anywhere and with anything, or one, and not be influenced by the bad association. So that's really the way we're going to become free from bad association. Of course, there's certain things we shouldn't be doing, like eating food cooked by non-devotees. I mean, drinking soda, right? You know, grains especially made by non-devotees. I mean, yeah. Going to the Bollywood movies. I mean, last night, just for a joke, I wanted to play one song on a Bollywood movie for someone. And it's Go, Go, Govinda's. And it, you know, it's just so obnoxious. Not the song, Go, Go, Govinda. Anyway, but the way they portray things, I mean, at the same time they were chanting about Krishna, there was a man and a woman looking at each other with great love, you know, lust. So obviously, there's certain things we should avoid. That's, you know, that's a no-brainer. Duh, as they say. No-brainer. So, but at the same time, if we don't have this enjoying spirit, or we have the spirit, let's say, you can't do a negative. If you have the spirit to give Krishna happiness in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, then you won't get affected by association, and you go and preach Krishna consciousness. You know, the people you're with may not be on the highest platform of devotional service. So what? And you may be dealing with people's mental issues, emotional issues, psychological issues, isn't it? And then you remain equipoised because you're doing it just to please Krishna. You're not trying to take some enjoyment from them. It's when you try to take some enjoyment from someone, then you take their association. Did everyone understand that? It's an important point. I know it may have gone over everyone's head, but any questions or comments? Yeah.
What do you actually mean by how do you get enjoyment
from people?
Yeah.
From anyone? That's in the relationship.
No, I mean in your particular example.
Which example? I'm talking.
You're
enjoying having someone love you.
Okay. Yeah.
Being a lovable object. You know, like that comedian used to say, no one appreciates me. Who was that comedian? He was a Jewish comedian. Anyway, so you know, because you get enjoyment out of puja, worship, profit, adoration, distinction. That's actually material. That's subtle sex life, according to Prabhupada. So when you're trying to enjoy someone, any relationship in the world, material, you're trying to enjoy someone. You're not trying to give them enjoyment, or it may be mixed to a certain extent, but you're trying to enjoy someone. Therefore, you get angry when they don't act in a way that gives you enjoyment, or they act in a way that gives you pain, or you get happy when they act in a way that gives you enjoyment. But we should seek to give Krishna enjoyment like the gopis. The point I'm making is the gopis in Vrindavan, that is the mood that we should be following. Then we can be transcendental in every circumstance, whether people love us or hate us. And we can always be merciful, not just neutral. Neutral is one thing, but merciful. Okay. On that happy note, we have to end. I know it's a little controversial. No one should leave their homes, please.